Okay, today's daf is Nida, daf Nun Zayin. Nida Nun Zayin, which is the last amud of Dam HaNida and the first amud of Haroe Kesem. Okay, so we will get into the Gemara right after the Mishnah on Nun Vav Amid Beis. Says the Gemara, Kapasik Vitani Afilu Mitarmud. The Gemara is quoted, if somebody, we find Ksamim. The Mishnah said, if Ksamim come from Rechem, they are Torah, because we assume the people from Rechem are not Jewish. But if they come from a place where there is a mix, Bimein Yisrael and Benakusim, so that was a Machlokas Tanam, as we'll see. So first we're going back to the first statement. So Kapasik Vatani Afilu Mitarmud says this to tell me the Mishnah doesn't make any distinctions, even if the Akesim is found from Tarmud. Rashi says, Habon Mibein Ha'ov De Kochavim Tahorin. The Mishnah said that if it comes from a non-Jewish area, it's Tar, even Tarmud. Tarmud, there was a suffix. There was a question who the people from Tarmud were and what was their status. Were they non-Jewish or were they certain types of mixture of mamzerim and doyim? They weren't sure. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, the fact that the Mishnah doesn't not make any distinctions, as it is all mutter, zoso meres bekabin geir mi tarmud. It must be Tarmud is a totally non-Jewish area, and you accept geirim from there, and therefore, if you find a kesem from Tarmud, you can assume it is tahar. So that was the first level. Ain't is this really true? V'yamar Rabbi Yochanan v'savya damri travayu ain makabla geirim mitarmud. But Rabbi Yochanan said elsewhere that we do not accept geirim from Tarmud. Why? As Rashi explained, as we just said, Rashi is on the previous line. Rashi said we do accept geirim from Tarmud v'ksherim lavo bakahol, and they can marry into the rest of Klal Yisrael. V'lo amrinan, and we don't say what the other sheet is choshesh for. V'lo amrinan mamzerim hein shenis arvu bibnos aseres hashvatim v'yovikachavim v'evad abal bas Yisrael avad mamzer. And it would be going like the Shita, the one that's Choshe says there's a Chash Mamzerim in this group, and this Shita holds that an Eved Va'akum, Haba Bas Yisrael, the Vlad will be a Mamzer. We don't hold that way, but that is what this Shita is following. So is this really true that we would accept gear from Tarmud? Rabbi Yochanan says we would not. V'chitem a Zos v'lo Svirelei. And if you want to say when Rabbi Yochanan made the first statement of Zos Omeres, he's saying this is what you would be Medaye from the Mishnah, but not that he holds like it. But no, that can't be, because Rabbi Yochanan holds that we do hold like anonymous Mishnais. So Zos Omeres would be following our Mishnah, which would be a Stam Mishnah. So how could Rabbi Yochanan say the halachas like our Mishnah, and also hold that Ein Makablan Ger, we don't accept Ger from Tarmud, which would make us think that they are not purely non-Jewish. So the Gemara says, Amorayin in Avadim with Rabbi Yochanan. Right, you're right, it's two statements of Rabbi Yochanan that later Amoram argued what he held. Did he hold like our Mishnah, or did he hold otherwise that you do not accept Gerim from Tarmud? Good, number one. Number two, Mibein Yisrael v'chulu. So the first line says, if you know for sure that it came from a non-Jewish source, that's Tar. As we said yesterday, the Chachamim were not gozer on the Ksamim of Akum. Right, that's what Tosfos says in Mibein. Mibein of the Kochav Tahorim, Afal Gav, the Beperek Benos Kusim, Amar de Dam Ovedes Kochavim, Mitame Karoko, Kumemi Raklecha. Even though we said in the Mishnah in Benos Kusim that the blood of a non-Jew is Tame Mi de Rabbanan, Karoko, Kumemi Raklayim, Biksamim de Rabbanan Logazro Lehem. Ksamim, they were not gozer on. You could say maybe it's Xero Lexero, but either way, the Ksamim are not. We're not included in the Gzeira. So says the Gemara, Mibein Yisrael, Chulu. If we find, though, a Kesem between Bein Yisrael, Umi Bein Akusim, that was a Machlokas. Rabbi Meir said Tamei, and the Chachamim said Tar, because they, we don't know who the they are not Chashud on Ksamim. So what does that mean? Mibein Yisrael, Chulu. V'Rabbanan, what is the Shita of the Rabbanan that say Tahar? Because they're not Chashud. Idi Yisrael Matari Deman Matamu. According to the Rabbanan, I understand if we say that we don't have to assume it's from a Jew because Lo Nechshdu Aksameim, so it came from someone else. So somebody else's Ksamim, non-Jewish, are for sure Tahar. So whose Ksamim are going to be Tamei? If Bnei Yisrael are a tabe, because lo nechshatu al ksameim, which let's assume means where they're not choshed that they'll leave ksameim around and people will find them, so then whose kesem is this? You think this is a non-Jewish kesem? But that's tar anyway. So v'rabbanan idi Yisrael matari, if they're matar, all of Bnei Yisrael, the ksameim found near Jews, z'man mitami. So whose are they matame? So the Gemara says, Chisuri Mechser of Achiktani. We must be missing a statement. Mibain Yisrael Tame. If it's Mamish family around amongst Yisrael, so Tame, you're right. Even though Bnei Yisrael usually don't leave their Ksamim out, but if it's only found around a Jew, around a Jewish area, so then Tame. Mibain HaKusim. If it's found amongst the Kusim, that's a Machlokas. Rebbe, that's the Machlokas of the Mishnah. Rebbe Meir Betame de Kusim Gere MSain. Rebbe Meir's Betame, because the Kusim are considered true Gerim, and therefore they're considered Jewish, the Chachamim Matarin to Kusim Geri Arayos. The Chachamim are Matar because Kusim are Geri Arayos. As we know, the Kusim come up in many different places in Shas. Kusim were the group of non-Jews who the king of Ashur put into Eretz Yisrael when Bnei Yisrael were sent into Galus, and Hashem was not happy with how they were behaving, so therefore with how this new nation was behaving in Eretz Yisrael, so he sent them the lions. Sent lions to attack them. That's why they're called Geri Arayos. The question is, did the lions cause them to then accept, you're right, the motivation was in fear, but did they then accept to become full Jews, even though the motivation was not so good, but they accepted fully a complete Kabbalah on mitzvahs, or not? Geri Arayos or Geri Emes. And that is a machlokas that comes up in many places at Shas in various discussions of the Tanaim. It's based on the story of Melachim. In Melachim Beis Perak Yuzayin, Vayelchu Bnei Yisrael b'chol chatos Yeravam asher asah lo saru mimena. Bnei Yisrael followed the sins of Yeravam. Yeravam, who was one of the few people, according to certain opinions, in Perak Chelek that lost his Olam Haba. Yeravam, when the Malchus split, in the days of Shlomo's son, Rechavam and Yeravam, set up the alternate Beis HaMikdash up north, trying to get people not to be Ola Regel, and among other actions that he did. So the Pasuk says that Bnei Yisrael followed all the sins of Yeravam, Ad Asher Hesir Hashem Es Bnei Yisrael Me'alpanav, until Hashem removed them, Kasher Diber B'yad Kol Avadav Anevim, Vayigel Yisrael Me'alad Maso Ashura, Arayam Azeh. They left. Vayavi melech Asher mi Bavel umi Kusa. There's the word. The king of Bavel brought from Bavel and from Kusa and from Ava and Hamas, all the other places. Vayoshev ba'arei Shomron tachas b'nei Yisrael. He put them there. Vayirshu et Shomron vayeshvu ba'areha. Vayehi. And let's do this because it's going to come up in a few lines also. Vayehi b'tchilas shiftam sham lo yaru es Hashem. They did not fear God. Vayishalach Hashem bahem es ha'arayos. Hashem sent. It says vayishalach, not vayishlach. It's pointed out, I think Rav Hirsch points out. Whenever it says vayishalach, not vayishlach, vayishalach always means he set free, not just he sent. Vayishalach as if there is something being held back. And once the Kadosh Baruch Hu decides that he's not holding back anymore, he just removes the impediment and then lets whatever is being held back gets free. So Vayishalach here, or it says it by the Nechashim Asraf that we had in 2 weeks ago's Parsha, the Nechashim that were attacked by Israel and the plague of the desert. So it's as if Hashem had the Anani Akavo that were protecting, and then he just removed the protection and naturally they came. It's not Vayishalach, it's Vayishalach. Right, and it comes by Vayishalach Paru Asa'am. He was holding them back, and then he removed the impediment, and he set them free. So here too, Hashem set free the Arayos. Vayu hargam osam. Started killing them. Yomar Melech Ashur lemor. They said to Melech Ashur, Hagoyim Asher Iglisa, Vatoshev Bari Shomron, Lo Yadu Es Mishpat Elohei Haaretz. Vayishalach Mevis Arayos, Vinam Amisim Osam, Kasher Enam Yodim Es Mishpat Elohei Haaretz. They have no idea what to do. You need to figure something out. So what did he do? The king of Ashur told one of the Kohanim from Am Yisrael to go up and to teach them. V'yoremis b'shpat elokei ha'aretz. V'yavo echem be'akonim, sh'egel mishomer, v'yeshem be'beitel, v'hi moro osam, eich yiru et Hashem. And he taught them, he started teaching them. So this was the story of the Kusim here in Perek Yuzayin of Melachim Beis. So back to our Gemaras. We have the Machlokas Tanam, whether the Kusim were considered, when they converted, Geri Arayos u Geri Emes, whether they were true or not. And that's the machlokas right here between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. Again, it could be a discussion of, there was a certain level of commitment. The question is, was that good enough or not? We know later on in history, they for sure all, you know, went away and they were given the status by Chazal as non-Jews totally. Again, there were different levels. Originally, they accepted the Torah. The question is how deep was their commitment. Later on, they started to lose it. But then, at the beginning of Maseches Chulin and elsewhere, we know that they were already considered total akum. And that's why sometimes, even when the Mishnah or the Gemara wants to quote a halacha, it might say the word kusim, even though it means umos ha'olam in the context. Okay, let's get back to our Gemara. So the Gemara says that the Mishnah was missing a line, and we have to add in. So, if you find it a kesem amongst Jews, so for sure, tameh. If you find it amongst kusim, machlokes. So the Gemara says, ihachi, if the machlokes in the Mishnah is about this issue, about kusim, so then the language of the Mishnah doesn't fit. Ihachi, shelo nechshadu al kismayim. That's what the last line, the Chachamim say, tahar, because they're not chashud on their ksamim, geire arayos bibayle. It should say that they're not Jews. They're geire arayos. That's the reason for the Rabbanan. So Elohachi Ka'amar. So the Gemara says, no, so this is what you have to add in. Mi bein Yisrael, mi bein akusim tameim. If it's found amongst Jew and kusim, it's tameim to kusim geri emesim, because kusim are geri emes, and they leave their ksamim. Hanim sa'in ba'are Yisrael tahorin. If it's found amongst our Yisrael, it must be tar. Shalom nechshadu al kismayim, because Jews are not chashed to leave their ksamim out. If there is a kesem out, vatsnuyim matsnuyi luhu, they'll put them away, they'll hide them. And if there is a kesem out, it must be from another source. And therefore, we don't have to worry about it. Hanim sa'im ba'ari kusim, third level of it's found amongst the kusim, remeir metameh, din nechshadu al kismayim. Remeir says tameh because they're chashed the kismayim, and they are considered geirei MS, the Chachamim Tarin, why? Shalom Nechshatu al Kismayim. They're not Chashud on their Ksamim. That is the final shot of the Rabbanan. Shalom Nechshatu al Kismayim. Good. Says Tosus, last line, V'yavagav the Ksamim de Rabbanan, but still, how can we say that they are, it's Tahar, because they're not Chashud, but Ksamim are de Rabbanan. And we will see that generally, Kusim do not hold of Ksamim. They don't hold of Ksamim. Not going to be worried about it. They're for sure not going to hide it away. So even though we hold that some are drabanan, hach tuma islahu the svara or the savra de migufa asa. They hold this daraisa. We hold some are drabanan, but they hold this daraisa because they hold this daraisa. That's why they would hold of that din. That is what the Rishonim deal with. How could we say that ksamim are tame at all for the kusim? They don't hold of ksamim. So we say that they hold that it is daraisa. The Ritva as well, at the end, the last couple of paragraphs of the Perek, the Ritva says, V'im tamar v'akusim lo zihiri bidrabanan. How can we say that they're not chashin on kismayim? They don't hold of the rabbanans. V'yesh lomar, even at the time when they did hold of something, they didn't hold of the rabbanans. V'yesh lomar, de'inhu savru, ksamim daraisa. Zelo darshu mibsara shetakesh mibsara atzma. They don't hold what we're going to have on Amun Beis today, and that is Shmuel's din of mibsara. They have to have argasha. They hold that ksamim are all de'oraisa, even without the hargasha. The Ha'aris and the Rashman and the Ritva, they point out that the Rishonim that asked the question of what about Kusim, how can they hold of Ksamim, isn't that the Rabbanan? And the answer, you'll give answers, they hold this Daraisa. So they point out that this is against the Ha'ara and the Shita of Rabbi Kiva Eger. Kiva Eger holds that the whole issue of hargasha and no hargasha is only laid in Israel Baila. But regarding Taharos, one does not need a hargasha. Regarding Tum and Tahara, so then, as we had back in the first parak and the second parak, that there are differences in halacha between the issue of Nida regarding Taharas and the Isra of Nida regarding Isra Labaila. So Rabbi Kiva Eger holds that Le'inyan Taharas, Simon Samach Beis in the Chuvas, the Le'inyan Taharas, Afilu below hargasha, Hadam Tameh. Right? According to all opinions. So according to that, if you say that is Daraisa for Tum and Tahara, even without Argashas, then the whole question of the Rishonim doesn't get off the ground. We're talking about Tum and Tahara here, and they're saying, is it Ksamim Darabanan? What do you mean? According to Rabbi Kiva Eger, Ksamim is Daraisa, according for Tum and Tahara, because you don't need Argasha. Okay, so that's the discussion, and they point out that this Ritva, and the Tosfos, and the other Rishonim, seem to be against that Rabbi Akiva Egg. Okay, we continue now with the Mishnah. Continue with the Mishnah. Kalak samim hanim sa. Kalak samim hanim sa. B'chal makom tahorin. All samim that are found anywhere, all places. Rashi says, b'makom Yisrael, they're generally tar. Chutz min hanim saim. B'chadarim u'besvivos beis atmeos. Except those that are found in hidden areas where we can assume that somebody put it away, a Jew put it away for keeping purposes, for safeguarding. Except if it's found in a room, in a private room, so mistam it was put there to safeguard. Or ubesvivos beis hatameos. Or somewhere near beis hatameos. What's a beis hatame? A room that women used to go to b'shas nidusan. Remember, in the days of old, regarding tumah tahara, so women had to be extra tummy, what they touched during this time of the month. So it could be they even had designated rooms that they went to during this time of the month. Ubisvivos beis hatameos. This come up before the Ramban's comment. Ramban writes about this in Bereishis. When Lavan Harami comes to look for his trufim in Parshas Vayese, and he goes and he's looking at all the tents, and he goes to the Ohel of Rachel, and he goes to the Ohel of Leah, and then he goes back to the Ohel of Rachel, and the Torah tells us that Rachel really took the trufim, and she was sitting on them, and Lavan comes in and says, what's going on? Vatamar Lavi, and she says to her father, Al Yichar Bene Adoni, please don't be angry at me, Kilo Uchal Lakum Mipanecha. I can't get up in front of you. I'm sorry. Why? I have the way of women, which Pashas means that she was an Ida. And what does the Pasuk continue? Vayechapes v'lo matzas ha-trafim. He checked and he didn't find the trafim. And then Yaakov got angry at him. V'chulu. The Ramban has the very interesting ha'ara. We don't find that Lavan answered her. We don't find that. She says, I'm sorry, Dad, I can't get up. The Derech Nashimli, and he walks out. He doesn't say a word. Why not? He doesn't say, yo, yeah, right, I think you're somewhere. He doesn't get angry, he doesn't say a word to her. So the Ramban points out, V'hanachon be'enai, ki hayu ha-nidos b'yemei ha-kadmonim miruchakos ma'od. The nidos b'zman ha-talmud were miruchak, they were distanced. Ki kein shman me'olam, nidos l'richukan. Menude means to be distanced, to be separated. Ki lo yiskarvu el adam, lo yedabru bo. Nobody would even talk to them or come close. Ki yadu akadmonim b'chachmasam. Remember, this Pashas is about Nida Daraisa, where she has her normal period. Ki lo yadu akadmonim b'chachmasam shehevlan mazik. They knew that on a metaphysical level, their atmosphere and the air that they breathed was mazik. Gami beten molid gnai v'oseh roshim rak asher bira filosofim. V'od ani asid laskir. And also I'm going to mention, v'hayu yoshvos badad ba'ol yikadis ba'adam. These should have their own tents, their own rooms, like our Mishnah says, the Beis Tomasan, Kemosh Yizkir Aboseinu, like the Chazal mentioned. Talmud Asur Lishol B'Shlom Shal Nida, Ibn Nechemyeh quotes other Chazals about walking on the dust of Anida and walking in her airspace. So says the Ramban, Lakach Amr Rachel, Ru'uya Isi Lakum Mepneato Nila Nashek Yadav, I should really get up and kiss your hand, Aval Derek Nashimli, and I can't come close to you. That's why, number one, that she said, she can't get up a little bit to give kibbut av. And number two, that's why, V'gamu Alechaz Ba'al Klal, Shal Tidroch, Atah Faragla, she doesn't want to walk in any dust. And he doesn't say a word. Lo ana osaki lahai lahai masaprani mam klal mebreisha dibura tabis. Even Lavan was worried about it. Even Lavan, who was not, he wasn't worried about the Tumas Avodah Zarah, but he was at least worried about the Tumas Nida. But that has to do with the Beis Hatmeos, like the Mishnah here mentions. Next, Beis Hatmeos shal kusi betamen ba'oel. Beis Hatmeos of a kusi are just Mitame, a kesem that you find there, but they're all even mitame ba'ol. Why? Because they buried their nathals there. Their nathals that, their stillborns that weren't born, or didn't become a vlad, they would not bury them in the normal way, they just buried them there, and therefore their beis atmeos were tame tumas ohel. Tumas ohel. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, they did not bury the Nephilim. They didn't think you have to bury the Nephilim. Elam Ashlichen, the Chayeg Oraso. Their act that they did that was worse made it even better, at least for us. They wouldn't even bury them, they'd just throw it and leave it there because they didn't think it had the status of a person, and therefore animals would just come and take it away. Except for you don't have to be worried about Tumas Ohel, ironically. Ne'amanim lomar, last line, last section. Ne'amanim lomar, kavarnu sham es hanefalam, olo kavarnu, they are believed to say, we buried an Ephel there or not. We'll have to see in the Gemara what this means, because usually they're only believed about Daraisas and not about the Rabbanans. I mean, they take the Daraisas seriously. So here, they're believed to say, we buried an Ephel here. Ne'amanim lomar ala mehema, in bechram lo bechram, they're believed to say if an animal was mivakeres, if this is a Bechar, if this is not a Bechar, they are believed. Ne'emanim al tziyun kvaros. They are believed for tziyun kvaros. They are believed to put markers on where the kvaros are and where a kever was. Tziyun kvaros. And to be mitayar taris that in an area where there was no tziyun. So we don't have to be worried. Ve'ne'emanim, but they're not believed. V'lo l'schachas, v'lo l'peros, v'lo l'besapras. These are all examples of Tumos Dirabanan, which we'll see in the Gemara, that they didn't care about the Dirabanans. And therefore, each of these were, they were not believed on schachos, from the word schach, an area where Tumo was under a certain roof. V'lo l'peros, we'll have to see, that means some type of protrusion where a certain outside of a windowsill might have been sticking out. But all beis apras, as we'll see, different types of beis apras, areas of a cemetery that were plowed over, that of a bokever, as we'll see. Ze'aklal, and then the last lines, davar shachashudin bo einem anem alav. Anything that a kusi is chashud in, they're not believed on. Again, this was at the time in history prior to the time when Chazal said that they are totally like umos olam non-Jews. So my drosh. Back to the Gemara. So, Midrash, what did they darshan? Who is the they? Machlokas Rashi Rambam. Rashi here says that this first line is on Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda who holds that they would not bury their Nephilim. Why wouldn't they bury their Nephilim? Why? Because let's read the Gemara according to Rashi. Midrash, Lo Sasek Lo Reach Asher Gavlu Rishonim Bin Nachal Aska. Pasuk on the left field about Hasagas Gvul, you're not allowed to be Mesik Gvul, push away the boundary of your friend, Bin Nachalascha. So the Pasuk says, in Eretz Yisrael, Bin Nachalascha Shertincha, but we darshan the word of Bin Nachalascha with the previous phrase, and we say, Kol Sheishlo Nachla Leishlo Gvul, anyone who has a Nachla, who has a portion in Eretz Yisrael, has a Gvul, has a Kever Avos, and should be buried. Kol she'elo nachla elo kvol. Whoever does not have a nachla, a portion of Eretz Yisrael does not have a kvol. Therefore, a nefel does not have a portion in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore he does not get kever avos. According to that, you have to deal with the achronim's discussion. Okay, what about a kohen and a levi? They also don't have a chelak. So you have to say, oh, they have the ari levim. What about women? Women don't have, so women have through their fathers, and b'no slavchad, so there are some ways to get out of the other people who might not have a chelek. That is all how Rashi reads the Gemara. The Rambam, right here in the Pirush Mishnayos, says no. This is the svara of the Chachamim. The Chachamim say they do bury, but they'll bury anywhere. They'll bury anywhere. That's what the Michael Drosh, how did the darshan that they wouldn't care about putting these Nephilim in a cemetery, but they'll put them and they'll bury them anywhere. So exactly here, that the same type of svara, that they don't have a nachlas, they don't have a gul, so you just bury them wherever you can stick them in. So that's the svara either of the Chachamim, Rambam, or of Reb Yehuda, Rashi. Good. Next, Ne'emanim. Lomar Kavarnu, they're believed to say that we buried someone, right? They're believed to say, where the Gemara quoted Kavarnu, Shabbos on the following, Lomar Kavarnu, Savahal Lesu Lefneiver Lesi Demichsha, but 1 minute. They don't hold of Lefneiver. What does that mean? It's a pasuk in the Torah. They hold of the Pshuto Shalmikra Lefneiver. They don't make drushes. The Pshuto Shalmikra, meaning they hold that you're not allowed to put a rock in front of a blind person, right? They hold of the literal. So let's just read the next couple of lines, and then we'll talk a little bit more about Lifnei Iver. So how do we say that we believe them here? This has to do with us. So I'm Rabbi Avo, but Kohen Omeid Sham. No, there's a Kohen Kusi that's standing there. And therefore, it's about him too. He's not just saying, oh yeah, I know there's no kever there. He's standing there. So obviously, if there was a problem, he wouldn't be standing there. The Dilma Kohen Tamehu, but maybe he's Tameh. And therefore what? But a Kohen Tamehu is allowed to stand in a place where there's a kever. Each of these lines we have to figure out. So let's just finish first. The naka truma biyadi. He's holding truma. I have a double truma tamei. Maybe it's truma tamei. So again, it's not a raya that he himself is doing anything wrong to himself. So therefore, how could we believe him? De ka'achal mina. He's eating from it. Truma tamei you can't eat from. So this is our raya to eat truma tamei. Right? You have to just burn it. So therefore, the fact that he, a kohen, kusi, is eating truma tamei, so that itself proves to us that he should be believed because he's doing something to himself also. If he's doing that, then what's the chiddush? So you might think that the kusim are not experts in figuring out whether a fetus is a nefel, is a vlad, is a ben kayama, and therefore we can't trust them. Can't trust them in these cases. They say they were low carvano as a vlad here because maybe they buried one and they didn't think it would be it was a vlad and it really was a vlad. Kamash Malon, we can trust them. Kamash Malon, they are believed in this area. Period. Okay, let's go backwards. First, let's go to the last line. Dilma Kohen Tame. Dilma Kohen Tame? So again, how do you... Kohen Tame, Kohen is that... Kohen Tame cannot be in the cemetery unless this is a sniff to the Ravid. To the Ravid, the much quoted Ravid. All of the Achronim discuss this Ravid. The Ravid in Hilchos Nezirus and elsewhere, but the Ravid in Hilchos Nezirus, I'll read to you. The Ravid in Perak Hey Alacha Tezayin. The other Ravid is talking about a Nazir who became Tameh. Could he re-Tameh himself? Is that more chamor? Is he still included in the Asara? The Rambam says, Nitma lemeis pamim harbe. Ava bishu chayav malchus al kolachas va'achas la'shamayim. Even though he should theoretically be chayav malchus for each time. Ein bezdin malchus al la'achas. Bezdin only gives him one set of malchus. V'im hisru ba'al kol pam v'pam. But if he was warned for each time, v'hum etame, it's based on a Mishnah Nazir, lo kol kolachas va'achas. So then, he will get Malkus for each and every time, based on each and every Asura. The Ravid there is a long Ravid, but in the last line of the Ravid he says, V'konim b'zman hazeh, t'me'e meis hein, v'od, ein aleihem chiyuv tumah, v'amachayev osam, alav lahavi raya. That's the Ravid. The Ravid says, V'konim b'zman hazeh, t'me'e meisim, and you know, if they're not mechuyiv, what does this mean? You have to put this together with a couple of Ravids in the Nuchlas Beis Abchira. But there are those that interpret the Ravid that if a Kohen or a Nazir is already Tameh Meis, they do not have an obligation to prevent themselves from becoming more Tameh Meis. Because once you're Tameh Meis, you're Tameh Meis. That's the Ravid, the language of the Ravid in Beis HaBechira about going on to Harabayis, Bizman Azeh is Ein Bo Kares. So, most Achronim assume that does not mean it's mutter, it just means in Bokaris. There's a certain element that's missing, but not that it is mutter. Anyway, but this is the Ravid. The question is, though, if we don't know like the Ravid, like Rovi showed him, so how do you read this Gemara? This Gemara sounds like the Ravid. Maybe he's a Kohen Tameh, and therefore he doesn't have a problem with being there. No, we don't hold that way. So Tosa says, the double Kohen Tameh on top, V'yavagav, the Tameh Nami Asur, L'shaz V'Beisak Varez, even though someone whose Tameh is also not allowed to be in a cemetery, as it says in Nazir, V'chulu, he asked the question, Tosa's first skinny line, V'taymel Afisha Mosef Tumah Alav. You're not allowed to be Mosef Tumah, even if you're already Tameh. So, how do you double coin Tamehu? So, a couple of answers. First of all, Tosis answers, Kusim less Lohu Iker Mamers. The Kus, you're right, it's true. It's true that a Kohen Tameh cannot make themselves more Tameh, but the Kusim don't hold that. The Kusim assume that a Kohen is allowed. That's what a double coin Tamehu. That's the Kusim are, Bitaus think it's Mutter. That's what the Gemara is talking about, the Kusim themselves. But that is the Tosis. The Ramban here says, no, maybe it's talking about that day. Some Rishonim, some Tanaim, Rabbi Akiva holds that the day that another becomes Tameh, so then he's not being most of all Tomaso. It's the same day. Maybe the next day, maybe all he's counting, days that he's going to become Tar, the Tara process. But maybe the Ramban says maybe it's talking about that day. Okay, this is a big discussion. The Chiddushi Aran right here says, Mikan Shaminan. From here we learn, quoting Tosa's idea that the Kohen is not allowed to make himself Tame, Besak Varis. Mikan Shaminan. She'ein Kohen Imra, Shoin Li Kanis, the Besak Varis, the Likvar Mese Mitzvah Shalahen, the Chulu. A Kohen who is burying a relative, let's say a Kohen is burying their father, still they're not allowed to go into a cemetery and have other people, other graves make them Tame. That's why Kohanim are on the edge. Lefichach, Roi Sheyasu, Mishpachos, Kahuna, Shchunas, Kfura, Shalahem, Bisof, Beis HaKvaris. right here, the Ran. That is why the Kohanim are on the edge of the cemeteries. So they don't have to go all the way in, because we don't pass it like this, Ravid, and we pass it that the Kohen cannot make himself more Tame than we need. Big discussion, the Chassam Sofer discusses, as I just mentioned, most Achronim, that if there is an Isser, was the Ravid Chozer Bo? That's the question. Because there's a Ravid in the Tvim Deim, there are different other Svarim of the Ravid. One is the Kasav Sham, where the Ravid wrote comments on the Balamar. Another is Chuvis, the Tvim Deim, that the Ravid supposedly wrote. But the Chassam Sofer writes in his Tshuva about our topic. Chassam Sofer in Yerodeh Shin Lamed Ches, he assumes that there is a Ravid. They quote this Tvim Deim in Simin Shin Lamed Vav, in Reish Lamed Vav, that the Ravid says is Asur Daraisa. Asur Daraisa to, for a Kohen to make himself more Tame. So was he Chozer Bo or not? Chassam Sofer assumes Tvim Deim is not the Ravid. That's what he says. He does not think there were a couple of Ravids in history. Chassam Sofer assumes that the Ravid in the Tmim Deim is not the same Ravid as the Baal HaSagos and the Kasav Sham. Kasav Sham is for sure the same one. Kasav Sham, because he has a couple of Svarim where he writes on the Baal Hamor, as we know. Kasav Sham number one, and also Bali Nefesh, as we've quoted on Hilchas Nida, the Bali Nefesh and the Selah HaMachlokas, which the Ravid and the Baal Amar have comments with each other. The Tvim Deim is just a separate sefer, nothing to do with the Baal Amar. So the Chassam Sofer assumes that it is not the Ravid. The Chida in the Shem Magdolim assumes it is the Ravid. So it's a Machlokas about it. There is, so the Sharm Sian Balacha, he quotes a sefer Shevet Yehuda, who quotes a Davar Pele, Bisofo, Shebishnas Kuf Nun Tes, Niftar HaRavid, when the Ravid died in the year Kufnun Tes in the 1200s, Vahakoanim Chafru Eskivro. And the language is that the Kohanim dug his kever. So what does that mean? So the Shavu Siyanim Balacha quotes this Sefer, and he says that, well, maybe it means Dafka because the Ravid. The Ravid is the one that says that the Kohanim could do all these things. And it's Mutar, so they were the ones that buried him. So it's not dafka because it says chafros kivro. Maybe they dug the kever, but they weren't. It doesn't say misasek bikfuraso. So it's not 100% clear, but it's interesting whether the Ravid had anything different at his kvura based on his shitas that he had in life. And he basically connected to the Tosfos and then the Maseches Ksubos from Chaim Cohen, who we don't hold of, who says that if I was alive at Rabbeinu Tam's Kfura, I would have gone, even though he was a Kohen. We don't generally pass in that way about big Rabbanim not being Matami Lameis. We assume that they are Matami Lameis. Anyway, but that was an important Ha'ara, but that's all about Vidilma Kohen Tamehu. Go back a previous line in the Gemara. Maybe it was a Kohen Kusi. Asks the Tosfos Yantif, a Kohen Kusi? The Kusim were Gerim. Right? They were non-Jews. How can we say it was a Kohen Kusi and the Kusim cannot be Kohanim? So he just says in one line, it must be, as we just read earlier, it must be from the Kohen that was sent to teach the people about serving God, and he eventually must have been misarev with them. That's what it must be. Where else would you get a Kohen from? So he says here, Tosfos Yantif says, we must be talking about Kasav Arav, that we're talking about a Kohen, and we just find it, I'm sorry, says the, oh, Nemanim Lomar, this is the previous one, says the Tosfos Yantif, that he quotes the Rav Bartanura, and he quotes that he's a Kohen, the Kohen Kusi, Hainu, Mibanav Shel HaKohen, Asher Shalach Melech Ashur, Lahoros Mishpat Alokei Haaretz, Kohen Shekasa B'Sof Melechem, V'yodu Chachamim, Zal, Sheshavu L'das Achas, Hani Kohani im hakusim kein nirali. It must be talking about that Kohen, or else you're not going to get any Kohen kusi. Good. Going back another line, right? So we spoke about the line of Kohen Tamu. We spoke about the line of Kohen Omid Sham. Lifnei Iver. So Lifnei Iver, what did we say? That they don't hold of Lifnei Iver, and therefore, why are we worried? So we must be talking about they're doing something themselves. So the big discussion that we've had, but now we can add the Kusim to it, and that is the Minchas Chinuch Kash. The Minchas Chinuch notes that Rashi, on the Pasuk of Lifnei Iver, says, what is Lifnei Iver? Lifnei Suma B'davar, in front of someone who is blind in a certain area, Lo Titin Eitza Sheino Hogeneslo, don't give him advice that's bad for him. Al Tamar, don't tell him, Mechor Sadcha V'Kach L'Chamor, sell your field and buy a donkey, and you go and and buy it because you want it. So the big shaila is Rashi always quotes the pshat and the drash. So why here, ask the Menachas Chinuch in Reish Lamed Beis, the mitzvah of Lifnei Iver, why does Rashi jump? Rashi should say the pashtus first. Don't put a rock in front of a blind person. So, ask the Menachas Chinuch, I don't know why Rashi, or the Rambam, or the Chinuch, none of them quote this case. Obviously, it's a terrible avera. Somebody does this, puts a stumbling block in front of somebody who's blind. But the question is it lifnei iver? Or is it just a violation of losam on adam recha and the like? So that's the shayla, the tzorach iyan of the Menachas Chinuch. So, the Klayakar notes that no. You know why Rashi says it? Because the end of the pasuk, "Vi'areisa mi'alokecha ani Hashem," where Rashi says, we're obviously talking about something that only Hashem knows is usur. If you put a rock in front of a blind person, you don't need Hashem to say that's a bad thing. That's objectively a problem. So that is why Rashi assumes the pshuta shel mikra is something that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows is wrong. So again, lifnei iver is a huge, huge topic. I'll just quote the one Chashuki Chemed, there's a couple of pages here, but I'll quote one case from the Chashuki Chemed, which I have not quoted before, because it's right here. Zilberstein was asked, Sheila, Yehudi Yarei Shamayim. There was a Jew, an Orthodox Jew, who was asked by the authorities, I don't know if this is in Eretz Yisrael or in Chutz Laretz, he was asked by the authorities to help bring certain Jews to justice. There are certain Jews that are drug dealers. So he was asked by the authorities to become a double agent, to bring them in and gather them to a certain area and become part of them for a couple of weeks and eventually bring them to a certain area so they can be arrested. So is that a lifnei iver? Is that causing chil Hashem? Is that mesira v'chulu? All these shailas. Says the Rav Zilberstein, ein bazeh chashash. There is no problem. One is allowed to cause a chil Hashem for a little bit in order to bring a kiddush Hashem in general. These people who are acting in a certain way, they've already been mechal Hashem Shemayim. So you're going to cause a little greater chil Hashem on the day that they're arrested and the papers are going to have it. But that's a great, that's a chil Hashem l'shaito to prevent a chil Hashem that is constant. That he says, Kalev did the same thing. When Kalev came back from the Meraglim and said, Kalev said, do you know what Moshe did to us? And they said, yeah, what Moshe did to us? So at that moment, that was a chil Hashem at that moment. But at the end, he was doing it to try to stop it, try to bring the Chil Hashem. Or, talks about other examples that when Pinchas killed Zimri, and he went, that he pretended, the Gemara describes in Sanhedrin, how he pretended that he was going to do something negative, right? He says, let me go in, right? Zimri and Cosby, they let him go in, because maybe they thought he was also going to be Mizana, and he went and he killed. So again, at that moment, there was a temporary Chil Hashem in their minds, and he didn't prevent them from thinking what they were thinking. So therefore he says, he does not think, Nira Shagam Binaninu Mutr Leo Sochein Kaful, a double agent, Kadilahaskar Sarashayim, Le Shiltonos. And obviously there's always a Mesira, because these people are a menace to society. And they're a danger to society. There's no Mesira in those types of cases. And there's no Lifnei Iver, because they're doing the Aveira already, and you're just trying to bring them to justice. Again, many, many examples of Lifnei Iver is one allowed to give the Ramaz case? Is one allowed to give bread to someone who you know is not going to wash? The Ramaz says, or you know he's not going to make a bracha. We mentioned this many times. The Ramaz says that one is not allowed to because it's lifnei iver. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, bizman hazeh, if you don't give it to the person, that's lifnei iver. Because they know about it. And you need to bring them closer to Yadus. If you do not give a non-frum Jew the bread, and they realize that you're not giving them bread because of this, so they're going to be even more distanced from the faith. So therefore, Bizman HaZeh Lifnei Iver is just the opposite. Again, there are many cases of this. There's an interesting tshuva in the Shevet HaLevi, where he discusses, if one allowed to be in a non-tznius clothing business. One allowed to wear non-tznius. So he ends up saying, Lamaisa, yes, because they might wear it underneath. They might wear it only at home. V'chulus. Again, one... there are kulas there. Again, halachically, misad the lifnei iver. What else? Inviting somebody to your house on Shabbos so you know that they're going to drive. So again, it's a huge discussion. Rav Moshe generally has a machmir hashkafa regarding those issues. Rav Sternbach here is more makel. It's not called a stumbling block if the greater good is trying to bring them closer to Hashem. Right, that's not called a stumbling block. Right, that's like the surgeon cutting something in order for the greater good. So again, this is a big discussion in the lifnei iver. Just one other tshuva. Rav Moshe writes in Aruch Chaim Chelek Gimel Siman Mem Gimel. It has to do with the summer. So I'll just mention it now, and that is there was a certain type of bungalow colony, it's very unusual, I don't know exactly what the case was, that they only had one cabin to daven in. There was only one area where they could daven. Only one place. Maybe there were no other lights anywhere in the public places. There was only one cabin to daven in. And it was a non-frum, owned by a non-frum person. And the problem was that after they would rent out the space from this non-frum person, and after they would daven, the person, the owner, would always turn the lights off. Always turn the lights off. So the problem is, their davening there is causing them to turn the lights off. And they tried to say, we'll pay for the extra electricity, we'll leave the lights on. He's like, no, I'm turning my light off. I don't want it on the whole Shabbos. And so the question is, the question to Rav Moshe was, if they don't daven in this place, they will be mevatel tefillah b'tzibur. There was no other place to have a minyan. Very strange. We could have it in anybody else's house. Maybe they didn't have room. Whatever the case is, this was the shaila. They would not be able to have tefillah b'tzibur. Rav Moshe writes, so don't have tefillah b'tzibur. Daven the whole summer on Friday night without a minyan. If it comes at the expense of a lifnei iver of a fellow Jew, then you're not allowed to do it. Unbelievable. More than tefillah b'tzibur. Right, again, it makes sense. Lifnei iver is something that we have to be worried about, an isser of every Jew. Okay, there's a lot more, but we will stop with lifnei iver for now, and we will continue. Says the Gemara now, ne'amanim al habahema. Yeah, there's a lot in these lines. Ne'amanim al habahema v'chulu. So the Mishnah said that the Ksusim are believed about a bechor, to say this animal is a bechor, not a bechor. Says the Gemara again, v'holes l'hu lifnei iver l'zi yimesho, they don't hold the lifnei iver. So Amr v'chi bar Abba, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, begozeis v'oved. No, it's a case where they themselves are shearing and working the animal. So obviously that shows that they themselves believe that they know that it's not a bechor. Okay, what's the chiddush? So my tema lo baki betinuf kamash malon. You might think that they're making it. Halacha might say that we have to assume that they're making a mistake with tinuf. Tinuf means that the animal in the previous birth, they might have thought it was a birth, right, with the mucus and the semi-vlad that came out, and they might say, well, that was the Bechor, now this is not the Bechor, and that's why they're using it, but really, it is the Bechor, Kamash Malan, we don't have to worry about that. Good, Ne'amanim al Tzion v'chulu, they're believed on the Tzion Kvaros, so the question is, one second, V'yava gavdimi d'rabananu, even though the Chiv of Tzion Kvaros is only d'rabanan, Kivan d'chsiva mizhar zahiri bay. It is written, where is it written? It's written in Yechezkel. But because it's written, so they are Zahir in it. It doesn't have to be the Daraisa. It could be even Divrei Kabbalah. Dechsiv v'ra'a etzem adam u'bana etzlo tziyun. They see a bone of a person and he built a tziyun kfaris. Even though the Aruch Laner points out, based on some of the Rishonim here, bring it up, the Gemara Ba'abasra seems to say that this is Halacha Moshe Misinai tziyun kfaris. But the Aruch Laner says that they hold that as long as it's not written, they call that Durabanan. So even Halacha Moshe B'Sinai, they wouldn't hold up because that is not Kasev. Ironically, Divrei Kabbalah would be more chomer to them because it's written that Halacha Moshe B'Sinai, even though we hold, obviously, that Halacha Moshe B'Sinai is Daraisa, and Divrei Kabbalah, based on the Pasuk in Yechezkel, is Derabanan. Weiter. Aval Einem Manem Lo Alaschachos V'Chulu. What are these three cases that are Tamei Derabanan, and therefore they are not trusted? Schachos Ditznan. Schachos are Elohein Schachos. Ilan HaMesach Al Ha'aretz. If there is a tree that is overhanging the ground and it is near the Beis HaKvaris, and we are worried that maybe on the Erev Shabbos when people were in a rush, there was a kfura that took place there, and there are different branches that overhang. So a kusi is not believed to say, well, the mace is under this branch and not that branch. Not believed to say that, because that is a tumah, that is a tumas mishum safik, and sveikas, they're not the inamanim ala safik. That's what Rashi here says, lafisha eno chash al hasafik, vitola hatumah ba'oel sheni misafik. So they say, oh, this one is not a problem, but they're not believed in that. Piraos, they're not believed about Piraos. Titzan, what's Piraos? Avanim, Piraos, Yotzos, Menagadr. Same type of idea, but it's talking about stones that are protruding from the Geder. And we don't know which one a kever was under. The Kusi says about this one, but he's not believed because again, that is a suffix. Beis HaPras. Beis HaPras is also a suffix, and Chazar were gozer tumah d'rabanan, but a Beis HaPras is a sada that a kever was in, and the sada was plowed over. So it could be anywhere in this area that there is a piece, there is an etzem kisaora that would be metame. So the Kusim are not believed about that case either, to say that this area is checked, this area does not have a kever, because again, they all are all suffix. Amar Biudam or Shmuel, Manafecha, the Beis HaPras V'Holech. Once we're about talking about Beis HaPras, so we just quote some halachas about Beis HaPras. A person could blow his way through a Beis HaPras. Because again, what do we worry about? We're worried about a Etzem Kisa'ora, and Etzem Kisa'ora is only Matame, B'mago, B'masa, and Napa Ohel. So as long a person is blowing his way close to the ground and making sure that there is no etzem here, so that would be mutter. Good. Rav Yehuda bar Ami Mishay, the Rav Yehuda Amar Beis HaPras Shenidash Tar, a Beis HaPras that is trampled by many, many people, so that is tar, because we assume that anything that might be there got totally crushed, and there isn't an etzem the size of a barley seed, a lentil seed anymore. V'tana HaChoresh Beis HaKvaris Harizeh Osa Beis HaPras. If one plows over a Beis HaKvaris, so that's one of the examples of a Beis HaPras. V'atkama Hu Osa, how far do we have to assume that it might have gone out? Melomana Mea Ama Beis Arba Sa'in, 100 Amas. Rabbi Yossi Amar Chamesh, even larger, 5 Sa'ah size. Semicolon. Says the Gemara Velo Mehemni. So is this really true that a Kusi is not believed by a Beis HaPras? Vatanya Sadesh Avad Bakever, Sadesh Avad Bakever, which is also an example of a Beis HaPras. Rashi on the second wide line quotes the Gemara Moed Katan, Gimel Beis HaPrasain. There are really 3 types of Beis HaPras. So one of them we already quoted, Beis HaKvaris that was plowed. So now Sadesh Avad Bakever, Neman Kusi Lomar Ein Sham Kever. A Kusi is believed to say there's no kever. L'fisheinu meyed ela al gufo shel kever. He is ne'aman that there's no kever there because he's being made on the kever, which is a daraisa. Ilon shu meisach ala aris ne'aman lomar ein taktav kever. L'fisheinu meyed ela al gufo shel kever. Both believed in both cases. So how can we say that he's not believed? So Amar Rabbi Yochanan v'mahalich uba al pnei kula. He's only believed when he walks the whole area, so therefore it's not lifting either. He's walking the whole area, so therefore we assume that it's obvious that the tumah is not there anymore. Ihachi ma'ilameimra, right? He's not even mesafik. Ihachi ma'ilameimra, so then what's the chiddush? Like we asked earlier, ma'o detema ritzua nafka kamash molan. You might say, ritzua nafka, he found a little path that he attributed the mace to being that little path, and that's that one little path that he didn't walk on and you just didn't notice. Kamash molan, we don't have to be worried about that. Good. Ze'aklal, last line of the Mishnah said, anything that they are chashud in, they're not believed in. V'chulu, ze'aklal, la'asuye mai. What is that including? La'asuye tchumin v'yayin nesach. Is to include tchumin and yayin nesach. Tchumin and yayin nesach, which they are both not makpid on. Yayin nesach, stam yenam. Right, or a Magarashi quotes, why was Yayin Nesach here? Yayin Nesach doesn't here mean real Avodah Zarah, but it means the Ein Kusi Makpid al Maga Obikochavim. If a non-Jew touches it, right, so they're not Makpid about that. Because they're semi-non-Jewish. So that's why we can't trust them about that. And also Tchumen, as Rashi here says, Tchumen is Durabanan. Which Tchumen is Durabanan? That is a huge machlokas. The Rambam and the Chinuch and other Rishonim hold that Yud Beis Mil is Daraisa. That's what the Chinuch counts, the only mitzvah in Parshas B'Shalach. We discussed that in Mitzvah Shir a couple of years ago, that the Yud Beis Mil outside is, that's Daraisa. The 2,000 Amos, that's Darabanan. Not everyone else is Darabanan. The Ramban is a Sagan that Sefer Mitzvah holds that even Yud Beis Mil is Darabanan. So I don't think this Gemara is a Raya either way. You can hold at least the Tchumen, that is Darabanan, that is what he is not believed about. The Mishnah Berurah summarizes this Machlokas in the beginning of Shin Sadek Zayin, in the beginning of Hilchos Tchumen in the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, here we go. Nun Zayin and Mabez. Now we are in the next section of the Masechta, Haroah Kesem. We've discussed Ksamim in the past a number of times, but here is a major discussion of some in this short little parak here. We have right now a little discussion of a major, little, but major discussion of Ksamim. Remember, just a little background, we had a Daf Be'in shiur about this. If anyone wants to still listen to it, it's on OU.org. Under Daf Be'in, the issues of how a woman becomes a Nida. Daraisa, a woman has to have a Hargasha, as we'll see in the Gemara. She has to have a certain type of inner feeling. What is a hargasha? The first Piskei Tshuva in Hilchos Nida, 3 types of hargashas, either a body tremor or a feeling of the opening of the uterus. Those two are in the Rishonim. And the third one, which is the Machlokas, the Noda Bihut and the Chsam Sofer, an internal Zivas Davarlach. Those are the 3 hargashas that are discussed. But one needs that hargasha in order to be Nida Daraisa. But then the Rabbanan created the whole world of Ksamim, which is Nida Rabbanan, or at least the creation is lacking a requirement on a Daraisa level. That's the world of Ksamim. We discussed the Kesef Mishnah in the Hilchos Yisurei Bia Perek Tes, where the Kesef Mishnah says, why is there any world of Ksamim? We should say, Sfeik Lakula. We should just say, Safek, it came from her or not. And even if it came from her, maybe it came from someplace now outside of the Makor. Right? So why do we have to be worried about anything? So the Kesef Mishnah gave two answers. Either because Nida is an Isser Chamor, we're even more Machmir. Or number two, Me'acher, Shein Lo Dever Lutzlosba, Chachamim were, the first suffix of maybe it came from somewhere else is a very, unless you know for sure, is a very tenuous Talia. And therefore, we assume it came from her, and therefore there's only one suffix. Okay, there's a lot to talk about, as we will, over the next day or two, but let's now just do some of the Gemara and Mishnah. Haro kesem al basara, if a woman sees a kesem on her skin, on her flesh, kneged beis atarfa, underneath an area where it might have dripped down from oso makom tamea, then she's tamea because we assume it came from oso makom. We assume it's damnida. Vishalo kneged beis atarfa, if it's, let's say, on the outside of her leg, we'll get to different places where it's very unlikely that the blood dripped down from Oso Makom to that spot. Tahora. Ala Keva V'al Rosh Godla Tamea. The Gemara will talk about this. On her ankle and on her big toe. Tamea. Al Shoka V'al Parso Seha Mibifnim. On her leg or feet or thigh on the inside. Tamea. Because then it could have come down from Oso Makom. Mibachutz Tahora. On the outside. Tahar. V'al At Studin. If it's on the front or the back. Mikana Makan Tahora. Because we don't assume it could have gone there. Shok, interesting shok. Machlokas Achronim, what is the shok? The Chazonish, other poskim, is the shok above the knee? Is the shok below the knee? That's a Mesachas Brachas discussion between the poskim. Ra'asa al chaluka min hachagur ulamata tameya. If she sees it on her apron, so then, if it's below, the area below, where it might have fallen from Oso Makom Tameya. Minachagur lamala tahora, but above is tahor. Ras al beis yad shel chalit, if she saw it on her sleeve, im magia keneged beis atarfa, if it's the area of a sleeve where, if she might have moved, it might have come across in front of the Oso Makom, so Tameya, then it's Tameya, v'imaf tahora. Basically, it's all logical. Wherever it might have come from, the Oso Makom is going to be Tameya. Haisa poshtaso miskasa babalaila, but if this chagur she wears at night for pajamas, and it might have gone in any which way during the night, so kol makom shinsa bokasem tuma, Tameya, then it's Tameya anywhere on the place, reishu choser, because it goes, she takes it off, she puts it on, it moves around during the night, and therefore anywhere on there, one has to be worried, came across the Oso Makom. V'chein be polyus. Also, polyus is a type of scarf that she wears. Also, it might have been anywhere in front of her, in front of Oso Makom. Amar Shmuel, here's the din. Botka karkola v'yashva aleha. Umatza dam aleha, if she sat down on the ground. And she found dam tahora. Tar shenemar bivsara. Achetargish bivsara, until she has a hargasha. Boom. Is the hargasha to make sure that I know that it came from her guf, or is it exeris akasiv? It's a discussion in the Rishonim. Hopefully we'll talk more about it in the coming days. What if she knows vada she didn't have a hargasha? Do we always assume she was just wrong? Or even if we know for sure she didn't have a hargasha? Big discussion. Again, we'll come back to it. So Gemara, that's the din of Shmuel, though, that you need a hargasha. So the Gemara says, "Hi, bivsara, mi bayle shematava bifnim kabachutz." What do you mean, bivsara? We already used back in the beginning of Perek Yotzi Dofen, right, where it discussed that a woman is batame even before the blood comes out, right? So we already used that shematava bifnim kabachutz. So im came lemakra bibasar. My bivsara, Shrabi Nashadagash bivsara, use it for both. Via Kadmi Baile, but we still already used it. Bivsara, Veloba Shafir, Veloba Chaticha. The Gemara at the beginning of the third parak, the beginning of Parak HaMapelas, that if blood comes out in a shvir, in a piece that came out of the uterus, so also, that's not going to be Matame. Taratishmamina, no, you learn both. Periods. Now we quote a couple of brises, which try to prove whether you need a hargasha or not. These seem to say that you don't. Tashma or Mishnayis. Tashma, the Mishnah at the beginning of the next parak. Ha'isha, she also says Tzrachecha. V'raz Adam, a woman who goes to the bathroom. The first three mentioned here are what we called earlier in the Masechta masked hargashos, as we'll see. Ha'isha, she also says Tzrachecha. V'raz Adam, a woman who goes to the bathroom. She urinates, and then she sees Dam. Rabbi Meir Omer, Im Omedes, Tamei Avim Yoshev Es Tahora. If she was standing, and therefore she's pressured. So we're worried that the urine went back and went into Oso Makom, and then when it came back out, it brought some dam, so Tmeya. Im Yosheves, if she's sitting and she's relaxed, Tahora. So hey Chidami, what's the case here? Ida argasha, if she had a hargasha, yoshev as amai tahora. So why is it tahora if she was sitting? Elalav de lo argasha. It must be she didn't have a hargasha. Viktanio medes tameya. And it says she's tameya if she was standing. So you see, you don't need hargasha. Kasha and Shmuel. So the Gemara says, no, lo olam de argasha. V'eimer hargasha d'meir aglayim have. Really, she had a hargasha, but we're worried that it was masked by the urination. Omedes, and therefore, if she's omedes, hadomer aglayim makar v'aisidam. If she's omedes, we assume that she might have had a hargasha, and the meraglayim might have gone back and forth and brought some dam from the makar. And how exactly that happened is what we alluded to earlier, also in the Masechta, that the biology of the Talmud, we are not exactly sure how it worked. V'yoshev is tahora, but if she's relaxed, there's no chash. Tashma, next. Discussions that we had earlier in the Masechta regarding checking if she had a bedika cloth that she had under the pillow, and after bia, and then she found dam on it, im agol tahor, v'imashuch tameh, if it is circular tar, because we assume that was a bug, if it's mashuch, if it's long, so that was from a wipe, and therefore we assume tameh, so hechidami, again, idar gisha, if she had argasha agol my tar, why is it tar if it's circular? Elalav de lower gisha, it must be she didn't have argasha v'ktani mashuch tameh, and she didn't have argasha, and it's still tameh. So again, lo olam de argisha, maybe she did have argasha, v'eimer, argasha's aid have, but maybe she had argasha at the moment she did the internal exam, and therefore it was masked. Mashuch vada migufasa agol tar, and therefore by mashuch we assume it came from her body, but not agol. One more, tashma nimsa al shelo, the mishnah we had earlier. Nimsa al shelo to be a chayav kar, but if the blood is found on him, on his bedika cloth, on the man's bedika cloth, tamei v'chayav and karban, because he assumed dafka came during bia. Nimsal shelah, if it's found on hers, oh, so yom immediately after bia, tamein v'chayavin b'karban. Nimsal shelah, if it's found on hers, l'achar zman, if it's found on her bedika afterwards, where there's a time after the ma'isa bia, tamein misafik, they're tamein misafik, they have to bring a dasham talui, u'b'tur min a'karban, with their pater from achatas. So again, hechidami, e de argisha, if she had argasha, l'achar zman, my b'tur min a'karban. So why are they pater from a'karban, if she had argasha? Ela lav de lo argisha, it must be there was no argasha, viktani, and we see. So how can they be chayav a carbon if there was no hargasha? So the Gemara says, lola olam dirgisha. Maybe there was hargasha, the ema hargasha shamishavi, but maybe it was the maisa bia. Period. Stop there. These three cases are crucial. These are the three cases of masked hargashas: urination, and an internal bedika, and maisa bia. By these three, we do not rely on the kulas of ksamim, as we'll talk about in the next couple of days, but we have to treat this as a real re'iyah, because we have to assume that there was a hargasha. And that's why we generally do not say that a woman should do any type of bedika the second after urination, the second after a maisa bia, or the second after or the third case of where it is a bedika, we don't rely on the kulos of ksamim, all because of this gemara. Because these three cases are all masked, are possibly masked argashas, and therefore we cannot be makel by them because of a lack of argasha. Okay, we'll stop here. Hashem, we will continue, Hashem, tomorrow in Parak Haroeh Kesem.